This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Cassette tapes, printed copies, and CDs of today's service are available. Information on how to order will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
We are continually being reminded that our world is full of starving people. Who are they and where are they? Jesus gives us his answer to these questions in our text today, and we're going to meditate upon what he defines as a starving person. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we realize that there are millions and millions of starving people in this world. And by the definition that we use in our everyday living, we are not among them. But, O God, we need to ask ourselves today, is that really right? So teach us who the starving people are and what our situation is as we walk through life. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, we are continually being reminded that our world is full of starving people. So you ask the question, who are they and where do they live? We know that some of them are in the United States, but the masses, I believe we'd say, are found in places like Africa and Central America and in the less developed countries of our world. But Jesus gives us his answer to this question in our text today. I believe it just might befit us to listen to his answers, because we could discover that we are a part of this starving population and do not know it. Let's go back to that sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, where we're spending a little time for a few weeks and learning what Jesus says to the disciples who had been there, or to the people who had been around Jerusalem, and the day was getting close when he would go to the cross to die. The chapter starts with our Lord spending a whole day with them, I think. And during that time, there were masses of people. He preached to them, he taught them, and he did many miracles. They were astounded at what they heard him say, and they were amazed at these miracles. So when it got to be close to the end of the day, one of his disciples, Philip, I believe, said, "Lord, don't you think we ought to send him away? It's getting to eventide. We need to get some rest and something to eat," and they the same way. So Jesus said, "Well, why don't we feed them before they go?" And the disciples said, "We don't have any food to feed them." Until Andrew said, "Well, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Give them to me." And from that, they came to be fed. And that was a great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And then they dispersed, and the disciples went their way, and Jesus put them into a boat. They went across the Sea of Galilee to the other side when Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. And as we learned last week in this study of the Word of God, they were out there in the midst of that sea, and a boat was being tossed to and fro when suddenly Jesus came walking. They were afraid. And then it was that he uttered those words, "Do not be afraid, it is I." The next day, as they were assembled on the other side of the lake, Jesus began to recognize that there were people there who had been in the audience when he fed the 5,000. Recognizing some of them, he said, "Tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then the people asked, "What must we do to have the works God requires for this food?" Our Lord Jesus reminded them that it was necessary for the physical body to eat. And he wants starvation out of here. He continually worked on that problem in his own day. And he has told his church to feed the hungry. I am happy that good things are happening among people today, when they get their eyes on some of these starving people and say, "We must blot out poverty." I'm happy for the politicians who work this way, and I'm extremely thankful that the Church of Jesus Christ has taken the lead. And in every one of our little communities, it seems, there's some project that they have to feed especially the starving children. That's good, and our Lord would put his blessings upon it. But what he is telling these people assembled with him on that day is that there's more to life than to feeding our stomachs. He tells them, "The reason that you have come here is not to seek more of my teaching and to learn more about me, that I am the Son of God and the Savior of the world. What you're here for is the material. You want to know if there is some more food in the basket." And then he went on to say to them, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Then he began to challenge him. And I said, well, it was a great miracle that you performed there in our midst yesterday. You fed 5,000 people. But we want to remind you that Moses did something far greater than you. For when he was the head of the people of Israel, he for a long, long time fed them every day. And you only fed 5,000 and for one day. Hearing that, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In other words, there's something beyond feeding the stomach of a person, and that is the soul must be fed too. And then they went on to ask him, well, how do we get this bread? And Jesus clearly said, God's answer to this is believe in the one he has sent. Completely confused as to who the starving people of the world were, they asked more questions, and finally Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. This is the message. And what our Lord is trying to say to us today, and I wonder sometimes if we're not as confused as were those people who actually saw him in physical form. He is trying to say to us that we are not only physical bodies, but we are a soul. We are a spirit. And you can be well fed physically and starving spiritually. Where are these people? Are they only in the underdeveloped countries of the world? Of course they aren't. They are in some of the most developed countries of the world. They are found right here in America. They are found in our communities. They are found in our churches. They may even be found in our families. They may even number us. Who are they? Any person whose soul is not being fed by the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ, is among the starving population of our world. Now, Jesus then gives them this statement, I am the bread of life. So if you will turn to me, if you will believe in me, if you will trust me, your soul will be fed. Now, I'm anxious during the rest of this message today to try to get at some of the specifics of this and really, what does it mean? How am I really fed by the bread of life? Here is a person who has done something wrong, and he or she knows it. And when confronted with the error of the way, the person might say, what I did was wrong. I'll admit it. But it was not all my fault. In other words, we begin to rationalize what we have done. Not right, but we're not altogether to blame. I hear a lot of such statements as that, and once in a while I hear it coming out of my own mouth. You know what we need? We need the bread of life. We need to hear the words of Jesus saying, if you will confess your sin, I'll be glad to forgive it. In other words, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross as a payment for our sins, and that if we will only come to that cross and repent of our sins and trust him, then he has promised in this bread of life to feed us, and we will not go hungry. Then you could take another one. Here is a person who says, well, you tell me that I have to forgive this particular person. I want to tell you that there's no way that I can ever forget him or her. What they have done to me is so bad, and they are so obnoxious in my eyes that I don't want to have them around. That is the statement of an impoverished person who probably says, well, I don't hate him, but I just dislike him terribly. No. What that soul needs that's crying out in its hungry, hungry situation where it is so terribly lonely, Jesus' words where he says, if you will not forgive your brother, neither will I forgive you. Take that home. Live with it and see how long we can carry on as we do in hating people. Or here's another one. This jealousy is killing me. My sister got it all. She has looks. She has wealth. She has children. And I don't have any of these things. You know what you need to hear Jesus say? This is the bread of life. What does it profit a person if he gains the whole world? All of these things that you have mentioned, but you lose your soul, come. Come, let me feed you. And I will make sure that you find that life can be fulfilled with many of the things that you think are not so terribly necessary. There's a challenge in life. There are so many people who will tell me, and I sometimes can sense a little bit of it in my own life. There are no challenges. The challenges are gone forever. When I retired, it was all in the past. And now what do I do? Jesus would hurry on to say, look, you are to be my witnesses. That is the food. This is not so abstract, you see. It's very common. Why don't you accept the greater challenges? You've had minor ones during the course of your lifetime. Those minor challenges have been very important because they had to put bread on your table. But have you ever given any thought to going out and feeding people with the bread of life? To go to a hospice and sit down and talk with some of these people who have a very, very short time left, and to tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Do you have time to go to a nursing home and sit with that person who has no relatives around and they're lonely? They'd like to have you come in and talk with them. Just talk to them. If it's baseball, talk to them about baseball. If it's basketball, talk to them about basketball. If it's politics, talk to them about politics. But before you leave, talk to them about Jesus Christ. I tell you, friend, that's the greatest challenge in the world. It's so great that sometimes we have set it aside and we have said we have other things to do. But someday, when I have the opportunity, I'm going to do that. There is a role of a parent to raise up your child in the way of the Lord. You need a lot of help on that, don't you? All of us did and do. And so I say to you, just take a look into the Word of God and find out what it has to say about taking care of your children, letting them know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bread of life. You see, when Jesus gets done with all of these things, that's what he's telling these people of his day. That's what he's telling us. You can have all the wealth in the world. You can have all the success. You can have all the satisfaction of a social life. But if you don't have your soul fed, it is like a hollow vacuum inside. And it hurts. We need to be fed with the Word of God. There's a matter of security. We hear people say, well, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I have to face these difficulties. One of my friends just said the other day that he had got some news that was not very pleasing. that probably there wasn't any more that they could do for him, but that they would make him comfortable and everything would be just fine, physically speaking. He said, there is no security. Your money can't do it, and human beings can do an awful lot, but they can't do it all. Why not say to that person, or if this is the way you're reasoning yourself in this insecure world, no matter what happens, the bread of life tells me God is my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help in trouble. God has said to me that as your day is, so your strength is going to be. And then when death comes and a loved one is taken away, your stomach is full, you ate breakfast, you went to the church and had the funeral, you had lunch at the church afterwards. And then you are heard saying to a person, you know, my brother was very, very wealthy, and he was very, very generous with the church and many other charitable organizations. Now he's 6 foot under. I just come from the cemetery. Oh, friend. What that soul needs to be reminded of, and of course when you remind him, he says, yeah, I understand that, but it hadn't moved from the head down to the heart. And he thinks of his brother as being in a cold, ugly grave. Whereas his brother who died trusting in the Lord Jesus, according to his confession, was living with Christ in the kingdom of God. When you're impoverished, then you think that the material has gone. And so when you put that material body down into the grave, he was gone too. No. Live without the food that God can give you, and you are among the world starving, no matter what your net worth may be or how full your social calendar is. That's a fact. Let Jesus Christ come into your life. What a difference he can make when we are fed spiritually as well as physically. And so I have been doing this of late, and I think that it is worth passing on to you. When I see the pictures of these starving people, and we belong to a couple of those organizations who have that as their goal, and quite often they'll call and say, it's time for some more money. And then the brochure has come. And you see these little busters, and you think, what can I do? Can I give them a little bit more? That's what physical hunger does. But then when I turn on Leto for just a minute, my wife tells me, get that thing off. And I hear about Anna Nicole Smith, 39, found dead. And now they're debating who the father of the baby is. That's poverty. I never had heard of this woman before. And it is not for me to judge or condemn. That is not it. I'm just taking from what the papers say. But it appears that she had plenty of money. She lived rather luxuriously, at least a part of her life. And now she's dead. And she didn't know who the father of her child was, or at least society doesn't know. The men don't know. That's poverty. Certainly we need to do everything we can as Christian people to blot out the poverty that destroys the body. But in this Lenten season, let us also remember that we need to let this world know of the poverty of the soul. And Jesus Christ alone has said, I Nobody else. I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me, he will never be hungry or thirsty. Amen. Father in heaven, grant that your word may feed our soul. But we realize you can prepare this great meal that will strengthen us in every aspect of our life. But first, we must eat it. So, Lord, we pray that in this Lenten season and throughout the world, throughout the calendar year, we may take time out to come to your heavenly feast and to hear the words ringing in our hearts that you are the God who loves us and has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. For we ask it in your holy name. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service today will be a light to guide you in the coming week. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, a preview of the Sunday program, and many other spiritual helps. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.